a young vicar, newly appointed to his parish, was asked to preach at a Mother's Day service in his church. And wanting to impress his new congregation, he racked his brains for a good way to start his talk, something I've done for this morning as well. The week before his service was due to start, he was a guest at a business dinner where the eminent guest began his talk, "You know, the best moments of my life were spent in the arms of another man's wife." There was a sharp intake of breath throughout the audience as they awaited a shocking revelation. The speaker went on, "My mother." And the audience laughed and applauded, and he went on with his talk. And the clergyman thought, "Yes, I'll use that for my talk on Mother's Day." But come the day, the clergyman, who was a bit scatty and a bit forgetful, arrived at church without his notes and decided to busk it. "I'll just do it from memory because I've prepared it all." So he got up and began his talk. "The best moments of my life were spent in the arms of another man's wife." The congregation gasped, and the clergyman went on, "And I can't for the life of me remember who she was." Yeah. Today, like that clergyman, I feel very unqualified to do this talk about motherhood. Never having been a mother, never having been likely to be a mother. So I've enlisted the help of five ladies to help me talk about motherhood. And I wonder if they can come up now. Jo, Jill, Lois, Sue, and Dorothy. You know who you are. Come forward and take a seat. Yeah, give them a round of applause. Can the person who answers the question take the microphone, you know, so we can all hear you? So I'll start off. Are you sitting comfortably? You can start. Sue, what does motherhood mean to you?
Well, what a big question. What does motherhood mean to you? I've thought about this all week and I can't really put it into words. It's just, it's who I am. Mm. And once you've had a child and you've got children, it just becomes part of your whole life. It's everything. It changes from when they're little to when they're older. Mm. But, you know, you're just sort of responsible or caring for somebody else all the time, thinking about them and wanting the best for them. So it just becomes a part of who you are.
Good. Lois, same question.
Sorry, I've got my notes.
It's all right.
Right. To me, motherhood means a God-given responsibility to care and nurture the child God has given us. Mm. Also, the challenge to teach Anna his ways, preparing her to be an adult in her own right.
Good. Dorothy.
Thank you. Right, I've made a few little notes, but what does motherhood mean to me? Well, I've written down what I felt was an overwhelming joy. Mm. You know, when your children come into this life, they're amazing, aren't they? But an overwhelming responsibility. You don't get any days off, you know, and well, that you don't. I never had a day in bed. You just keep going with your children. If you've got a bad back or anything like that, I can remember crawling upstairs with one on my hip. You know, you just don't. You just keep going for your children. So there is that sense of responsibility. You're walking with them through life. You're walking. It's a lifelong thing. Supporting. First day at school, things like that. These are things that came to my mind. Taking them to the school bus in the morning. You know, those kind of, and advice, you know, advice like, "Mum, what T-shirt shall I wear today? Does this one look good on me, Mum?" You know, that kind of thing. And right up, as Sue said, to the first girlfriend, "What do you think, Mum?"
Yeah.
"What do you think? Do you think she's nice?" All that kind of thing. So a long stream.
Great. Jo.
When you're in school, you're usually asked what you want to do or what you want to be when you're older. Mm. When I was asked, I think we put it in our yearbooks, when I was asked, I never knew other than all I wanted to do was get married and have children. And the fact that I've done that and I'm living it, I'm living my dream.
Great.
It sounds really cheesy, but it's true. And, you know, some people thrive off a career or something else. But for me, that's what I thrive off. So that's what it means to me.
Good. Jill.
Hiya. Yeah, I would say, like Sue said, really, it's everything. I know, you know, before I had mine, you kind of think, well, you know, my children will just adapt into my life because, you know, I'm very busy. And but it obviously just doesn't really work out like that. And I think you kind of, for me, it kind of changed me as a person as well. And you become somebody's mother. I remember even, like, I don't think most of you know, like when Callum was born, he was in special care for 2 weeks. And I remember even within that first day of his life, the first time I had to go round and knock on the door to get in. And I suddenly thought, if I say who I am, they're not going to know who I am. And so I had to say, you know, I'm Callum's mum. And that is literally what it is. I think it, you go from being yourself to being somebody's mum.
Yeah.
You know, and all your kind of everything that you do then, like I think somebody else said, does revolve around them. You go from having all of your freedom to even needing a plan of when you're going to go to the toilet and if you're going to get long enough to occupy them. So yeah, but that's kind of
good.
Yeah,
while you've got the microphone, second question. What you've all talked about what motherhood means to you and the good positive side. What about the challenges? What's the challenges of motherhood for you, Jill?
Okay. The challenge is, like, I would say it is the toughest yet most rewarding thing you will ever take on. And it is that overwhelming sense of responsibility that, you know, this child is your responsibility. And, you know, I would say, I don't know, the different behaviours, again, of your children, you know, I remember thinking, well, you know, my children are never going to be those children that sit there and stare at you and don't smile, but your children will do what your children will do.
Yeah, that's right.
And I think even my own, as I say, it changes you as a person, and some of the feelings that a child can give you, like even if somebody's called them a name in school, and that feeling that's inside you, that to me was quite alien, really, I think, until I had children, that like mother's feeling that you get. And I think initially I've struggled to deal with that. That was a challenge for me. And I think getting, you know, the discipline side of things, it's getting that right, isn't it?
Yeah.
And again, like the responsibility, obviously, because we're bringing them up in church, it's, you know, we're instructed to direct them on the right paths, and you know, they will keep to that when they're older. And I think it's that overwhelming responsibility and desire that you will achieve that for your children.
Good. So. Joe.
For me, the one of the main challenges is cooking. I'm not the best cook. Never have been. I can bake a cake, but you can't feed your family on cakes for the rest of their lives. So yeah, from like weaning onwards, then, you know, you need to give your family the best that you know how to do. So that's one of the challenges, which I'm still learning. And also patience is the main one as well, because you do lose your patience, and you shouldn't do, but it happens. So it's an ongoing learning curve, I think, with patience. You really have to, it's a choice. So every time you get to make that choice, you just got to learn to make the right one.
Great. Dorothy.
Right, what challenges has it brought me? Well, when I found Oroy smoking in the outside toilet, that was a challenge to me. I was absolutely surprised. I could see the smoke coming out there. But the thing was, I opened the door and he denied it. How do you deal with that? You know, well, he didn't smoke again. I can, you know. Well, but it was a challenge. They're challenges. And then when the policeman brought our John Taylor. Many of you might know him. He goes to McGull Baptist. What man you telling me there? But the policeman brought him to the door, and he says, "Do you know that your child was hanging over the bridge over the motorway?"
Oh dear.
Just wandered off. So that was a challenge as well. But there were, you know, we've got to be real about this. You know, we're a one-parent family. I brought my children up most of their life. And there were crisis times. There were big crisis times. And one was when it was really hard. I had to go into hospital. I'll be honest with you, I hadn't been parented myself. I'd been brought up with a grandmother and an aunt. So I hadn't known parents. So I was really, it was a real learning curve for me.
Yeah.
So I had to go into hospital, which I thought was a few weeks, and it turned out to be 3 months. And my children had to go into a children's home. Mm. And that was one of the hardest parts in life, you know. But that was just before I became a Christian. So, but God was at work in my life at that time. I had been going to church, but nevertheless, I did have to go into hospital because it was hard. It was really hard.
Great.
But the story gets better.
Yeah, I'm sure. And we'll hear a bit about that later. Lois.
It's hard to see a child go through difficult circumstances, you know, in school and things like that, and to trust that God is working in a situation to develop character and strength. Basically, the challenge is to give the situations over to Him, knowing that He's completely trustworthy and that His love never fails.
Right.
I don't know what to say now. I think the challenges change when they're younger, aren't they? You know, I can remember finding hair on the floor and saying, "Who's cut the hair?" And other ones are saying, no, we didn't do it." And then there's big chunks of hair that they cut out. Or someone had gone with their nail down the wallpaper and drawn, you know, "Who did this?" And they were, "Nobody did this." So there's things like that. But I think one of the biggest things for me was they'd come home and say things like, "Everybody in school's got a television in their bedroom." And I'd be like, "Well, you'll be different. You won't be having one." But sometimes that was really hard because there's a lot of peer pressure for kids. Yeah. And you know, if you haven't got the money or, you know, that's not what you want for your child, it's really hard to stand firm. And I think, you know, you need that strength of character, which you know, for me has come from God. Mm. But, you know, and then when they don't speak to you, you know, when you get to the gobby teenagers and they don't, you know, they don't speak to you because you've done something. And it is really hard. You know you're doing the best and the right thing for them. Mm-hmm. But it's hard to take that, you know, sometimes. And then, you know, as they get older and they go off to uni, you just want them to make the right choices. And sometimes when you see them making perhaps not the best friendships, mm-hmm. I think they've been the really tough times. And knowing when to say something and when not to say something, because you can make the situation so much worse.
Yeah.
And I'd like to say I've never done that, but it wouldn't be true. So I think, yeah, you know, and it changes, as I say, when they're little. When you're there little, you think they're the worst things sometimes, but they're not. So all you have got little ones, I want to tell you now, whatever it is. And I think another thing, older people in the church used to say to me, "And it came to pass." And it will pass. You know, the terrible twos and then the gobby teenagers and all those things, they do pass. Nothing stays the same. And really, you're learning all the time. You're just learning all the time.
Yeah. What about the blessings, Sue?
Well, they far outweigh anything else. They do. I can remember, you probably think I'm stopping, and all you mums sitting here, you'll remember it as well. When they put this baby in your arms, and I'd lost a baby before I had Kath, so she was doubly precious, really. Mm. When they put this baby in my arms, I can remember this overwhelming sense. And for about the first 6 months, people must have thought I was crackers. Every time I had her in my arms, I'd be kissing her all the time, kissing her head all the time, because there's just this overwhelming sense. And you feel the protection, and you just want the best for them. And as you see them do each thing, I think someone was saying before, you know, when you see them going to school, they're in the uniform, they're going. So they're all the highs, aren't they? And when when they're happy. To see your children healthy and happy with good relationships, you just want the best for them. And then to grow up into adults who are responsible and are doing, you know, and that they're kind and good people, that they care about people, you know, you just want them to be part of society and to be contributing to society and to be the best that they can be. And there aren't words to describe.
I've received many blessings being a mum. Due to negative circumstances, I married late and I was told by the medical profession that it was impossible for me to have children due to both my fallopian tubes being blocked. So Anna was a special blessing to us when she arrived. A bit too far. All right. I'd like to add that I do identify with the heartache of not being able to have a child. Each stage of the childhood development process brings different joys. And at the moment, I'm enjoying Anna's creativity and the fun that she brings.
Good. The thing that came to me this morning, the blessing was, I've got two boys and a girl, actually. And from the age of 12, my boys worked. They either had a milk round or they had a paper round. They earned their own pocket money. They were faithful to that. They didn't have time unless they were very ill. They got themselves up to do this job very early in the morning. And sometimes in the most atrocious weather, they would come back, I would run the bath for them, they'd have to take everything off. But you know, that doing that really, really taught them. That was a blessing to me then, that I never had to give them pocket money from the age of 12, that they earned their own money. And the blessing is, for me, that they are faithful young men. Now, that has continued. They're trusted, they are faithful in their work, they are faithful to their families, and they're good husbands as well.
Good, good.
When I was telling Paul this morning what the questions were, and I came to this one, I said, what blessings? He said, what blessings?
That's a father's answer, isn't it?
I've got a little boy and a little girl, and little boy, perfect. He was so good. Little girl, complete opposite. So I'm just waiting for that to change. I believe it will. But yeah, I think some of the blessings that we're experiencing is a new church, because the kids are one of the reasons we started coming here, and so we've got a new church. Well, you know, a new family. And new friendships.
Yeah, I did actually find this probably the hardest question, just because there are so many blessings. I just think that feeling of fulfillment when your child achieves something, and that feeling of bursting pride when, you know, even when they come home, they've done their first picture from school, or, you know, if their teacher says something nice about them, or, you know, I've had parents coming up saying, you know, I just want to thank you because, you know, your son has stood up for my son today, and just knowing, you know, that you've instilled, that, you know, you've helped to instill those morals into them. And I think even just hearing them saying mummy, I mean, again, I think that's one of the extremes. I think mummy can become the most annoying word. But also just such a blessing that, like, somebody calls you mummy, I think is just an amazing blessing. And silly things like, you know, when I get home from work and, you know, they've only not seen me for a few hours, and, you know, that joy on their faces, and, you know, when they run and jump and greet you, I just think there's nothing that can match that kind of feeling. And I think as well, for me, I was kind of the first out of my group of other friends to kind of have children, and I think through the children I've made other good friends. And I think the closeness you get from making friends with another mother, because you have that shared understanding of the good times and of the bad times, is again something that you can't replace. So that to me has also been a blessing.
Good. And a final question, briefly, I know, because some of you have already hinted at this, but how has being a Christian helped you to be the mother that you are?
Okay. I think it changes the way you are as a mother. I think as a Christian mother, you know, your ultimate desire for your children is different, I think, than many other mothers. You know, you don't want them necessarily to be a brain surgeon or a doctor, although obviously mine will be. but, you know, your desire for them is to grow up and, you know, with the Lord in their heart and, you know, to follow him. So I think that just changed things and, you know, makes it harder, again, with peer pressure, I think, with mothers and with the children. And I think one of the biggest influences that I've found is my, you know, I think most...
It's all right, take your time.
You know, when I became a single mom like 3 years ago, God was really real to me during that time. And, you know, it just really brought home that, you know, although that took me by a sudden, awful surprise, you know, nothing can take him by surprise. And I... believe that he had prepared the way for me beforehand, and there was, you know, numerous things that now, looking back, in some ways it's not a good time because again they're blessings because I can see how real, you know, he was during that time. You know, the support mechanisms that he'd put in place for me, I think, you know, from my mum, who is, you know, amazing. And like the friends, I'd built up a good network of friends since I was in primary school, and you know, they were amazing. And then obviously being in this church that was so much like a family that I felt like, you know, I could come here and you know, if I was really low, I could just be supported, and I knew somebody else would be looking after the children. And I think even the small group that he'd put me in, you know, it's such a tight-knit trusting place that, you know, I could be completely open and honest about what was going on. You know, when I had that support, and that's where I think, you know, your small group is so important, because you know, you don't know what's ahead of you, nobody does, but if you've got that support of, you know, your Christian friends, you know, I think it is really important. You know, and during that time at the very beginning, I think one of my big things was for me that I'm grateful for was, you know, people were saying you'll go through different stages, and they were saying, you know, be careful, because at some stage you will go through, you will be angry, and I can honestly say that I never was, but that was something I was frightened about, because I don't like anger and I don't like bitterness. So, you know, and it, I was very aware of, you know, God saying to me, you know, you cast all your worries on me because, you know, I care for you. And so obviously it was something that I prayed about. And I feel like God almost instantly gave me the gift of forgiveness. And I found it really easy. I know that sounds daft, and you know, I know friends found that difficult sometimes, and be saying, you know, but you know, you should say this and you should do that. And it just gave me, I knew it would have given me no pleasure because I'd forgiven. And you know, I'm not saying that there's been isolated incidences since that make you upset and, you know, a bit cross, but you just need to, you know, cling on to that promise. And you know, I would say I think that being able to do that and having that gift of forgiveness made me a better mother to the children during that time. I mean, I don't know what others, but to me, they weren't really affected. So, you know, and I thank God for that. You know, that's not down to me. And the forgiveness, you know, I know friends were saying, oh, you know, you're really good for being like that. But it's like, no, this is not of me, you know, because it was definitely of him. And I would say even now, you know, there's still times where, you know, you feel that isolation and that guilt and fear of the future, but it's just for your children, you know, not so much for me, because as you say, everything, once you're a mother, is about being a mother. But I just try and stand on his promises. And obviously, you know, you have your low times, but a very wise friend told me to write down, you know, when God's spoken to you.
Yes.
And so I just draw back to that when I need to. And one of the, you know, the things that really spoke to me during a very dark time was Isaiah, "For I hold you by your right hand, I, the Lord your God, and I say to you, don't be afraid, I am here to help you." And I believe that's been really real.
Excellent. Thank you.
In my life.
Thank you. Thank you, Jo.
Yeah, as Jill said, being a Christian, Mom, you think differently to how the rest of the world thinks. And so the choices you make for your kids, you know, when they're young, and the situations you put them in or you find them in, you think differently on how to deal with those situations, and what you think is best for them. So being a Christian, it changes things. For me, it's changed my prayer life. I always, at the beginning, I used to put myself down and say, "Oh, don't pray enough, I don't read my Bible enough," because it's just non-stop being a mum. You don't get to sit down, you don't get to have you time. So I was just like, "Lord, when is this time that I can spend with you?" But actually, you showed me that being a mum, a Christian mum, you're actually in constant prayer, because it's you're faced with challenges, new challenges throughout the day, that you're constantly praying. You know, even a sigh can be a prayer to the Lord, you know, just a thankful prayer, or, you know, whatever. So, good. Yeah, that's changed for me.
Good. Thank you. Dorothy.
Thank you. Yeah, question, yeah. How has my faith helped me to be the mother I am? Well, Jesus radically changed my life. I think you may have heard a little bit the other night, but through my little girl going through to a playgroup, I got to know some ladies, and although I wanted to know God, if he was real, we were a vulnerable, broken family. There's no getting away from that. And I knew I wasn't going to make it. And my prayer to God was, if he's real, to show me that he's real. And God answered that prayer by becoming a free place at a little Baptist church for my daughter, Jill. And although I went and to the playgroup when I could, this was before I'd gone into hospital, and I was very low. But my daughter, through that, one of the ladies just took me around the back of the church, and I'd refused to go. I didn't want to go to church. I wanted to know God. I didn't want to go to church. But she took me around the back to see this very ordinary little Baptist chapel. And the ordinariness of that chapel, just wooden pews. No great big crucifixes. And I looked, and it was so ordinary, and I was ordinary. And I just said to her, I could see something in her eyes, that she saw something there that I didn't see. And I said, "I will come." And that lady picked me up every Sunday evening, and my children in the back seat went to in the creche. And I went every Sunday night to church, in the night service, and I heard the gospel message. Took me a year. I went into hospital in between. I came out and I went back to, and then after being going about a year, there was a visiting minister who said, "Is there anybody here that hasn't received Christ?" And I thought, well, I've been trying to read my Bible, trying to pray, coming to church, but I've never asked Jesus into my life. It's always been on the app. And that night, I got such a revelation of God's love. It has to be a revelation, because I could see that night that God loved me. And I just simply said, "Jesus, if you love me that much, I want you in my, and you've seen everything about my life, everything I've ever done, everything I've ever said, all the things that I've got wrong. And you love me still. I want you in my life. And that was the beginning of a radical change. My children saw a radical change in their mother. And really, my testimony really is that they would come down every morning and see me reading my Everyday with Jesus or whatever. They would come down and it brought stability. My Christian faith brought stability into our lives. It brought meaning into our lives. We became a part of that church. And, you know, the boys' brigade, the girls' brigade, the youth, were all part of building my children, you know, into that greater faithfulness. And they all came, one by one, to Christ.
Good. Brilliant.
All were baptized. Thanks. And so it's God in everything. He's done everything. He's done it all. So which I thank God. He's strengthened me. But I just have to say this, that when my children went home, when they left home, they all left under a year. And although I was a Christian, it was like I'd only lived for them. My children were my life. All that you're doing every day is all your children. And I had to readjust. I had to go through that crisis part and find a new life and ask God what he wanted me to do with the rest of my life. Wasn't easy, but God is faithful. He always gets us there.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah, the Bible gives us guidelines on the way that God wants us to live and how to treat others with honour and respect, which in turn we can, this is how my faith taught me, we can pass on to our children. Just recently I've been so impressed with the fact that the Holy Spirit, our helper, wants to bring us heavenly counsel and strategy, disclosing God's plans to us rather than us relying solely on our own human logic and understanding. Proverbs 3 verses 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths."
Amen.
I think you do live. I think I identify with what Dorothy's saying, that you live for your children and then suddenly they're not there. But they are still there in the sense that, you know, they're always your children, aren't they? But life changes. And I think also you have expectations of how life's going to go and the things that are going to happen in your children's lives. And that doesn't always happen. So I think really for me, my Christian faith, and I'm sure for others here as well, you have to cling on to God's promises. You know, we've just heard that, trust in the Lord. You know, I know the plans I have for you. And sometimes you're looking and you're thinking, well, actually, I'd really like to know what these plans are. and you know, if I was doing this, Lord, I'd do this way, and I'd have done the stuff by now. That and you know, and I think the older I get, the more I realise that I just have to trust God. He sees the bigger picture than I do. I don't see the big picture; he does. Sometimes that's really hard, really hard, because there's things you might want for your children that you're not seeing, because you want the best for them. Well, I have to trust that God wants the best for me. And God in my life, I can't imagine how I would have got through things without him. And, you know, you still want the best for your children. And so you just pray. And I mean, that's what you do, isn't it? However old they are, you love them and you pray for them. And you just, you know, you just want the best for them. They were never meant to stay at home. So, you know, they will go. And those who've got the younger ones, they will go, because that's the way it was meant to be. But we're always a part of their life. And, you know, for me, I want to be a positive part of my girls' lives. I want to glorify God in front of them so that they know that God is real. Mm. Whatever happens in our lives, life might never meet the expectations that I've got. You know, the things in my head that I think should happen, or life might never. What will I do with that? And I think over the last few years, God's been saying, look at me. Don't look at that. Look at me. I am your all in all. God, you know, we sang today, it's all about Jesus.
Yes.
And once we take our eyes off him, we can start sinking a bit and thinking, well, you know, life isn't really. We have to trust him because he is a faithful God.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks. Can we just give them all a round of applause? Thank you. Now, I had a sermon to do. I think the sermon's already been preached. Would you agree?
Yeah.
So I'm not going to do a sermon. You'll be happy to know. But just to round it up, I think it was really good of those five ladies to share some very personal stuff about what God, the difference that God made in their lives as a mother. And just how hard it is to be a mother, but also just something of the blessings. Isn't it good to experience some of that as well? I was going to talk about Hannah. So if you get the chances at home, maybe you'd like to read 1 Samuel chapter 1, and you can read all about another mother that I was going to talk about, who had some of the issues that we've heard about this morning, who experienced things like childlessness at first, and then she received a child. But I'm just going to close now with a little video clip.